Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working in his power. Everybody said effectual. Effectual. You take the U-A-L off the end and it is effect. Amen. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Turn with me tonight. James chapter 5, verse 16. Praise God. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Everybody said effectual. Amen. The first scripture that we read was the effectual working of God's power. And the second scripture is the effectual, fervent prayer of the church. Amen. And I just want to preach just a little bit. I don't plan to preach a long time tonight, but I want to just title this, if you want a title, When Two Agree. Amen. When Two Agree. Let's pray together and let's ask for the help of the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your power and anointing that we have available to us here tonight. We ask you to anoint the Word of God and to speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated tonight. Praise God. Good to be here tonight.
Amen.
You know, there's an awful lot that can be said about unity. And when two people agree, there is a power that is released. In the Old Testament, they would plow with oxen. They didn't have tractors and so forth. And it was against the law for a person to plow the field with an ox and a donkey. Amen. Had to be an ox and an ox or a donkey and a donkey. Amen. And it's because God knew and God sees the power of unity. Amen. The power of unity. When two agree together concerning anything, he said he would do it. Amen. So when two oxen agree, then the field can get plowed. When two chemicals agree, if they don't agree, you might have an explosion. Amen. If they agree, then you've got something usable and workable. And actually, for anything, for that matter tonight, great things come when we find things that are in unity. They agree together. Amen. And I believe tonight that God is doing great things and that God wants to do great things. And it's not relative to what's going on around us. It's not relative to how we feel. It's not circumstances that are taking place in our life that are the relevant key to this, but what it comes down to is God wants to do a work among us, but we have to ask ourselves, are we in agreement with God? Amen. And when we realize that the Lord greatly wants to fill us with the Holy Ghost, I'll just use that as an example here tonight. You know, we can understand when we understand tonight that God wants to greatly fill us. If we want to be filled in a very serious way, we've seen it so many times, God comes and fills them with the Holy Ghost. How many seen that before? Somebody comes with a hungry heart. And some that come without a hungry heart, they leave the same way they came. But others can come with a hungry heart and receive what God has for them. It is simply because it is the power of agreement. Amen. It is the power of agreeing with God and with the work of God. Praise the Lord. And when the two come together, the person that's seeking the Holy Ghost and the God who wants to fill them with the Holy Ghost, then they receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. God will not withhold his spirit from anyone, but he will not fill someone who does not agree with him. Praise the Lord. I had a relative at one time, and he said, God knows where I'm at. He knows where I live. If he wants to fill me with the Holy Ghost, he can come and fill me with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, that's not how it works. Amen. Because that's not an agreement with God. God has already told us, the Lord has already shown us in his word that he wants to fill us with the Holy Ghost, that he wants to save us and wash our sins away. And so he's waiting for us to come. He's waiting for us to come to the altar and agree with him and make an agreement or a covenant with him. And when we do, in the waters of baptism, our sins are washed away. Isn't that exciting? It's exciting to have my sins washed away. I'm glad I'm not living like I used to live. I'm glad I don't have that burden on my shoulders like I used to have. Praise God. But it was washed away by God when I came into an agreement with him. And as far as people receiving the Holy Ghost is concerned, I've seen it time and time again. It is actually to the point that we expect, we know, we've got a sense about us. And you know what I'm talking about. It's really hard to explain that when someone desires God, you can tell that they desire God. You can tell that they're hungry for God. And it's exciting to me. That's what's so exciting about teaching Bible studies and winning people to the Lord. You can just see it happen over and over and over again. The same thing happens to everyone. When we get hungry for God, we can find out that God's been hungry for us for a long time. Well, praise God. And there is an agreement that takes place. And so when it comes to the Lord, we can see from the scripture that we read in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7 that Paul was made a minister according to the gift of grace, gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Everybody said his power. The effectual working of his power. And the word effectual there is the Greek word energia. Try to remember that. I'm going to bring up another word in just a minute. But energia means energy or operation and strong. Amen. And so God is not half-hearted about his church. God is not lazy and lackadaisical about the people of this world. Amen. We can see from Scripture how he approaches the things that he does. He does it because he is very interested in his work. We can go back to the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we can go through the 6 days of creation in chapter 1, and we can see that God created everything with strong energy. Amen. Energia. Amen. Effectual. God was really excited about what he was doing. And so when he made everything, he made it perfectly. He made it in so many different dimensions. We talk about the three dimensions, time, space, and matter. And we talk about the different dimensions that we know about. But I'm telling you, there are many more dimensions that we don't know about tonight that God created. Because when God creates something, he does a super-duper job. Praise God. It's awesome. It is mind-blowing. It is something that is so far above us. And so when he created everything in 6 days, you can see in at least four of the days that he said it was good. He didn't actually say it was good. The Bible says, and it was good. Amen. And so it was good. And that means there, you could take that word good and you could look at it in relationship to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so good is beside evil. I'll talk about that in just a minute. But God was very interested in his work. He was not apathetic or laid back, but God was going forward with his plan and spent 6 days. Oh, I tell you what, when he spent 6 days and he created all of that, I don't believe tonight that God's energy was diminished at all. I don't believe that God's power was diminished at all when he created in 6 days. He could have done it all in 1 second. Amen. But there was a plan that God had. There will be 6 days of man's rule or man's time upon this earth, a day representing 1,000 years. And then on the seventh day, there will be 1,000 years of peace. That's a little bit of prophecy there. He didn't just say, well, I have the ability to do this, and so I'm going to do it in a millisecond, and that's going to be the end of it. No, he had a plan. It was a master plan. It was an awesome plan. It was a beautiful, and it is a beautiful plan that God has put together. Amen. They say that if the rotation of the planets was off just a little bit, or the rotation, the orbit of the moon around the earth was off just a little bit, or the orbit of the earth around the sun was off just a little bit, or we were tilted just a little bit more or a little bit less, there would not be the possibility of life upon this earth. Amen. God did not just snap his fingers to see what would come out of it, but God had a plan. Praise God. I don't know if that excites you, but it excites me to know that God had a plan. Amen. And when he created the stars, he created it with his energy, his energia. It was strong. It was operational. Amen. The universe operates. Amen. It has meaning to it. It has order to it. And the scientists of our day are spending billions of dollars trying to figure out how everything works, and they've just got a very limited amount of understanding. I'm very excited because there is a movement that is taking place, and it's a very strong movement against the theory of evolution, which strips away from mankind any kind of meaning or any kind of morality or any God. It just happened by chance. But I'm telling you and anybody that hears this message, we're not here by chance. Praise God. We're here by the divine plan and purpose of God, by God's energy. Amen. By God's energy, he put everything together. And then the crowning glory of his creation was man, and he put within man billions of cells. Amen. In your body are literally billions of cells. And they say it's only just a matter of a few days that all the cells in your body die and they are replaced by new cells. In every cell there is a DNA spiral that has information on it that tells it what to do, that tells what to do inside the cell, and then what the cell is to do for the body. I'm not going to bore you with all of that. To me, it's very exciting, and it's eye-opening, but not everybody's interested in those things. But they say that if you take every part and every piece of information in the DNA of the body of a human being, that it would be able to encircle the Milky Way galaxy twice. Amen. And that's the power of our God. That's the energy of our God. That's the forward thinking and the forward operation of our God. To say that God does not care about me is not true. Amen. To get to the place where you don't believe that God is interested in you is not correct tonight. It's not right. All you've got to do is look at everything that is around you, and you can see that when God did it, He put excellence, he put wisdom, he put energy into it. Why? Because God loves his creation. If he marks it in his book that a sparrow falls, and he knows how many hairs are upon your head, I'm telling you tonight, God cares about your life. God knows what your future is, and he's got a plan made out for you. Well, praise the Lord. You know what? The thing that's missing is our agreement with God. That's what's got to come into alignment here tonight, is our agreement with God. And I just believe tonight God is so awesome. The more I read about him and the more I pray and seek his face, the more I understand that God is so very awesome. So awesome that we can't even come close to understanding him. But we do know, however, that when God did it, he looked upon it and he said, "It is very good." Everybody said, "Very good." Very good. And I don't know how he did it. I don't know the whole dynamics of it. But when God says it is very good, I'm telling you what, that means that everything operated exactly the way he wanted it to operate. When he looked at the man that he created and he stood up out of the ground and he brushed the dirt off of him and he looked up and he said, "Hello, Lord," in whatever language it was. He knew the language of God, and he moved his arms and his fingers. He was able to think and comprehend. He had a mind that probably nobody in this world has ever had. He had the ability to name every animal, amen, that came by him. He was a super mind in that respect. The Jewish sages say that there was an aura around Adam because he was so godlike. He was the Son of God by direct creation. Amen. He was a man, but he was not born by a woman. He was born of God. Amen. And God looked at that, and God looked at the sun shining on him and warming him to exactly the right temperature. He looked around at the Garden of Eden and saw where he had placed the man, stepped back a ways and looked at the earth from a distance. Amen. Looked up at the stars and the constellations. Looked at all of the thermodynamics and all of the atoms and molecules and how they were working together in perfect harmony. Amen. Doing the will of God. Doing exactly what God created them to do. And God said, "This is very good." Amen. Praise the Lord. It was very good. The word "very" there means it is in great degree. In other words, it wasn't common and ordinary, but it was very great. Amen. It was awesome. And what God did was awesome. The word "good" there means complete or sufficiently perfect in its kind. Listen to this. Having the physical qualities best adapted to its design and use, opposed to bad or imperfect or corrupt or impaired. We say good timber, good cloth, good soil, or a good color. Amen. That's exactly what it meant there when God said it is very good. It is extremely complete. It is sufficiently perfect. Amen. Everything is doing what I created it to do. And he looked at it and said, "I like this." Amen. It is good. You know why? Because what God does, he does it effectually. What God does, he does it with enthusiasm, with energy. Amen. With drive, with excitement, because he sees the value of what he has done. What God is looking for in all of this creation is somebody that'll agree with him. Amen. And this is how he created all things, with that energy and that working of his power. But then the apostle, the first pastor of the church, James writes in James 5:16, and we read it. He said, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. And so what it simply is saying there, what I got out of these two scriptures here, is that word effectual. And the word effectual there is not energia. That was in relationship to God, but it is energio. It's very, very close to it, but it means to be active. Amen. To be active. And so we cannot be inactive and be in agreement with God. We cannot be inactive and be in agreement with God. What we must do is, we must do something. And what we do needs to be in the will of God. But my old pastor used to say, he said, for heaven's sake, do something. Amen. Do something. Praise God. Why? Because God did something. God took the time to build all that he built and to put you and I in our place tonight. Amen. And Paul said, his power in me is effectual. It is energy. It is desire. It is drive. Amen. But then the next scripture, it says that the effectual fervent prayer works. Amen. I'm preaching to us here tonight because I've got a feeling that maybe our belief in the value and the working and the reality of the goodness and the working of prayer has slipped a little bit. But I'm telling you tonight, prayer works. You know why? Because when we pray with activity, when we are active in our prayers, amen. Somebody had the idea that effectual fervent, and that fervent really means that. It means fervent. But this word is more of a continuation. Amen. It is more to be active. Praise God. I believe that's why the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And in Acts 6 and 4, when the apostles were putting together this ministry to the elderly, he said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Amen. And so there is an activity that takes place. Really, what I want to talk about tonight is prayer. Amen. Because when two agree together, there is something that takes place. Praise God. And when we pray, our prayers are not cast aside. When we pray, it is not ineffective, but it is very effective. We may not see the results of it when we pray. We may not see the results of it a week after we pray. But the prayers that you pray, the prayers that this church has prayed over the years, is not diminished. Amen. They have not faded away into the cosmos somewhere. They have not disappeared or dissipated into the atmosphere. And somehow or another, we've got to keep building them up because they wear away after a while. Mom and Dad, you've been praying for your children. Don't stop praying for your children. Because your prayers mean a lot to God. It is in agreement with God. When we stop praying, we are not in agreement with God. But when we understand the word effectual here, that God is effectual, and if we will join up with him and we will be like him and in agreement with him, amen, then all of a sudden something is released. There is a power. There is an energy that is released in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. And God does great things. Do we really believe God tonight? I believe God tonight. And sometimes when we preach that and we say that, we preach it by faith. Amen. We don't preach it by sight. Well, praise God. We preach it by faith. When we make the bold assumption, or not an assumption, but the fact and the truth of the matter that God's going to help me, instead of getting depressed, instead of getting down. Amen. We're not in agreement with God. And what we need to do is agree with Him and get the Word of God out. If you feel carnal, just go ahead and quote the Scripture anyway. If you don't feel God, just quote it anyway and claim the promise of God. Amen. Well, praise God. I believe that my God is a God of revival, and I believe that if we will agree with Him, amen, there will be an action that takes place. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to give ourselves continually to prayer. Do you think that meant on days when they didn't feel like praying? I do. But it doesn't mean that they were always on a spiritual high and that prayer was some sort of a spiritual high all the time. Oh my, some have been gifted with that continual, effectual fervency in their prayer. Amen. Some of the old ones that I remember and some people that I know today that know how to pray and continue in prayer. But I've had many, many over the years say to me, I need to go to the church and pray. Amen. But when I go to pray, I don't really feel a whole lot. I don't really know if my prayers made it. But I'm going to try to convince you tonight that when you pray, even if you're just breathing a prayer down the road on the way to work in the morning or during the course of the day and you breathe a prayer on your lips, I'm telling you, my God hears your prayers. Amen. Because He is saying, in essence, there's somebody that's agreeing with me over there. There's somebody that is agreeing with what I do and with what I want to do in this world. Amen. Well, we can get to the place where if things don't go our way, we kind of back off. Amen. But I'm telling you, I'm thankful tonight God didn't back off when things weren't going quite right. I'm glad my God is effectual. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that the working of His power is effectual. And when things seem to be going in a bad direction, or if things are not exactly as they ought to be, oh my, I'm telling you, we're seeing some things building in our world today. We really are in the realm of the Spirit, and not just in the Spirit, but in our world. I'm not going to preach much longer, but I want to leave this with you tonight. China is rising up. Russia is rising up. North Korea, all of the evil of our world is rising up before our very eyes. The evil that's in our country is rising up before our very eyes. I'm reading a book called The Gathering Storm by Winston Churchill, and I'm reading that book, and I'm saying that's exactly what's happening in our day today. That's exactly what's going on in our generation today. And I'm telling you, it is not what goes on that is so important. It is what we agree with that is so important. Praise God. And what we should agree with is God. Amen. I'm not looking for my joy to be in the president. I'm not looking for my joy to be in the mayor of the city. Amen. I'm looking for my joy to be in the God that I serve tonight, because my God is real. His word is real. His word is true. Praise God. And I could go through the story here in Acts chapter 16. The multitude rose up together against them. That's where we're at today. The multitude is rising up together against Christianity. Amen. Oh, they were so excited when two Muslim senators or congresspeople, a couple of ladies, were voted into the Congress, and they swore to uphold the Constitution on the Quran. Everybody was so excited about that. But I'm telling you, you go in there and you talk about Jesus, you're going to be turned back, and they won't accept a word of that, because the name Jesus Christ is hated among all nations of those that are not in agreement with God. But for those of us that love Him, amen. Those of us that know Him, it is the sweetest name I know. Amen. It's like honey to the lips. Praise God. It is sweeter than the honeycomb. Amen. It is brighter than the noonday sun. Amen. That name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And so they rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes. That means they tore off their clothes. Now, get the picture. Here's Paul and Silas, and they ripped their clothes off of them and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. And who received such a charge thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Amen. None of us have gone through that. Can you imagine? I don't know. I could probably handle being hit on the back with many stripes if I had my coat on or if I had my shirt on. But here they were. They were stripped of their clothes, tied to a whipping post, and a big armed soldier whipping their backs. Amen. With many stripes. Oh, yeah, there was screaming. There was hollering, there was blood, there was ripped open flesh. And dear God, if a little bit goes wrong, we stop praying. Amen. If a little bit goes wrong, we get an attitude about it. Oh, God, help us. Help us to see what they went through in their lives. They probably were thinking, the Lord's coming soon. Amen. But He wasn't coming soon. Amen. He just wanted them to go through this so that it would be an inspiration to us. And the Bible says, and at midnight, everybody said midnight. At midnight, in your midnight hour, Paul and Silas, they prayed. Everybody said they prayed. They prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Amen. It wasn't just a little bitty silent prayer. Oh, we don't want to disturb anybody. It's at midnight. But they sang at midnight until all the prisoners and the guards in the prison could hear them. They started off with prayer, and their prayer led them to praise. Amen. In other words, they had to get to the place where they were in agreement with God. Amen. God wanted to do something exciting, but they probably were not thinking about that at the time. They were just thinking about how bad their backs felt. Amen. They probably were talking to each other and said, man, we got ourselves into a real good one this time, didn't we, Silas? And Silas probably said, yeah, we probably did. Now tell me they weren't hurting. Tell me their backs were not swelled up. Tell me that the wounds were not swelling up. Amen. They were sitting in a prison. It wasn't a prison like ours, but it was filthy, dirty, and they were probably going to get infections and die from them. It was a horrible situation, but they started praying. Oh, God, help us to understand the power of prayer. Amen. They don't tell me that they were down there going, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Their backs were hurting so bad they could barely move, but they started praying. Can I just say it tonight? God wants His people to pray without ceasing and during the course of the day. Amen. When you're holding your grandson, you put your hand on him and pray for him. I'm telling you, it is the will of God that we pray. Amen. And it's not so much the volume, amen. It's not so much, but it is the continuation. It is the going forward and doing the work of God. How do you think a church is built? It's not built because we try it for a week or two. It's not built because we try it for a year or two. But we have to be effectual, amen. We have to be effectual and say, this is where it's happening is my church. Amen. This isn't that church over there. I've had folks say that, and they're not here tonight because they were not in agreement with what was going on here. I'm telling you what, this isn't that church over there. This is my church. Praise the Lord. It's your church. It's God's church. And I'm excited about our church. I'm excited about what God is doing here. Amen. Yeah, there's things that we have to deal with as we go through time, but God's looking for some people that will pray and praise. Amen. In the midnight hour, when everything seems to be turned upside down, amen. God has a exciting, energetic energy, amen, to do the work of God. I look in the scriptures and I don't see very many places where God moved in a mighty way when everything was going right. But it's usually when it was not going right. When it was going right, wow, they had plenty of blessings. When everything was going right in Solomon's day, they stopped counting the silver, there was so much. They stopped counting the brass. They said there was piles and piles of gold, timber for the sanctuary, the glory of God filling the sanctuary. Oh, I'll tell you, I don't want to wait. I don't want to get to the point where everything's going bad and it's at the midnight hour that I pray, but I believe that it's the will of God that we build a beautiful temple for God. I believe that it is the will of God that the gold and the silver and the bronze and the brass and all of the materials that we need are piled up right there. Praise God. And we use them to build a church for God. Did you know God has a revival for this church? Well, praise the Lord. That wasn't too good of an amen, but that's all right. I still believe it tonight. That God has a great revival for the church. Amen. He's just looking for somebody that will pray. And they prayed and they sang, and suddenly, there was a great earthquake. All of a sudden, God moved. All of a sudden, there was an effectual, fervent move of God. And the energy hit this old world. And the tectonic plates of the earth could not stand still. And all of a sudden, everything began to shake. Praise God. I'm telling you, when God made this old world, He made something awesome. Amen. I've seen the pictures of Mount St. Helens when it erupted. Oh my, you talk about a power. The gases and the fumes that were coming off of that went down the side of that mountain at least 300 miles per hour, knocking over 6-foot diameter trees. Some trees that were 12 feet in diameter were knocked over by the supreme power of that volcanic eruption. It was massive. It was earth-shaking. Amen. You know who set that all in order? You know who put the heat in the middle of the earth? Amen. It was the God that we serve tonight. I think maybe the Lord just did that to show us a little poof of what He can do. Amen. My God is big. My God is mighty. There's nothing that my God can't do. And the prison began to shake. The foundations were shaken. Immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Praise God. Praise God. Everybody's bands were loosed. Amen. The keeper of the prison woke out of his sleep. Now, there was this problem right there. The prison keeper was asleep. Praise God. Parked over somewhere in a corner, sleeping. And all of a sudden, all the prison doors were opened. And he had one last resort, and that was to kill himself. Either that or be tortured and killed by others. Because he had a very serious job to do. And he supposed that all the prisoners had fled. But Paul said, don't do yourself any harm, for we're all here. And then he called for a light, and he sprang in and came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Amen. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And guess what they did? That very same hour, they went to the jailer's house, and he washed their stripes because they were all matted and bloody. He washed their backs, and then they went and baptized him and his family in Jesus' name. I wonder if we'd be willing to go through that to baptize a family. Sometimes we're not willing to cross the street to talk to somebody about God. I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on us here tonight. I'm just talking about the effectual working of the church, the effectual working of God in us. Somebody said, praise the Lord. We've got to agree with God. And when we do, great things happen. Amen. Anybody excited about God tonight? I'm excited about Him. Psalm 133 and verse 1, a psalm of degrees of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirt of his garment, and the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. God is interested in people that are in unity with Him. In unity with Him. I read in Acts chapter 10, and you don't have to turn there tonight, but I'm going to finish with this. In Acts chapter 10, there was a man named Cornelius. Y'all remember that story? Amen. If you've never heard that story, you need to get Acts chapter 10 and read it. Cornelius, a Roman police officer, and he had a short sword, and he would use that short sword if he needed to, and he was a Roman police officer. And the Bible says that he was a devout man, and he was one that feared God. But he was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew. Salvation was for the Jews. But there was something in the heart of this man. I've got a feeling that at nighttime, if he had a night shift and he looked up in the sky, in those days they didn't have street lights and all that sort of thing to block the sun, or block the stars rather. And he looked up there and they probably looked like lamps you could just reach up and grab a hold of. And probably looked up there and thought about the Roman gods that he was supposed to worship and serve, and thought, surely there's a God that's real. I don't know of any God that parted the waters. I don't know of any God. I've read, or I know, I've heard of the history of these people, of these Jewish people, and I don't know of any other God that's done that. And so in his heart, he began to pray. He began to pray. He was a devout man. Well, praise the Lord. One that feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. Always. That, how could he be an effectual, fervent prayer warrior? Well, he didn't have the Holy Ghost. His sins were not washed away. You know how he was able to have his own personal revival in his family? It was very simple. It was very simple. Him and God came into agreement with each other. I've prayed people through in their living room. No music, no church service, no nothing. Amen. Probably a little bit deader than it is here tonight. Amen. My audience that I was speaking to smoked cigarettes. They didn't know anything about God, but there was one lady in the room, one lady, and she said, if God has more for me, I want it. I said, God has it for you. She said, I want it right now. I want it right now. It kind of takes you back a little bit. It makes you think, do I really have what I'm talking about? Is it really in me? Can I really give them what I'm talking to them about? Well, I can't, but God can. I said, come over here. We're going to pray for you right now, and God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Within a very, very short time, just a few moments, within 5 minutes, she was speaking in tongues, and she fell backwards on the couch, and she just continued to speak in tongues as God gave her the utterance. Praise the Lord. Yeah, real exciting, isn't it? Amen, Pastor. Amen. I'll tell you what, it was exciting to me. She came to church and I baptized her in Jesus' name. She never stuck. But I'll tell you what, God did his part and we did our part. I guess my only point is that if a sinner man can pray to God and an angel will be dispatched to him for salvation, how much more does God want to answer the prayers of the church? We just got to get in agreement with him. Let's stand together tonight. Let's stand together. We just got to get in agreement with him. And when we agree with him, there becomes a bond and a unity. Praise God. There are awesome, awesome things that God wants to do among us. There is. Amen. Brother Darrell, he wants to give you a really good job. Amen. He wants to take you up another notch, Doug. Brother Doug. He wants to bless all of these young men on the front row. Oh, well, you know, not really sure about that. Oh, I tell you what, you're missing so, so much. As a young person, as a young man or a young lady, if you could just open your eyes and see what God has for you in your future. Even just a little glimpse. Amen. God's plan is so, so big that some people, they spend their entire career studying a cell. Their whole career. Just trying to learn and understand what goes on in one cell. That's how vast God is. Nathan, God's got a will, a purpose, and a plan for your life. Purpose and a plan, Hunter. Purpose and a plan, Gavin. Purpose and a plan, Garrett. Tessa. Elizabeth, wherever she is. There's a purpose and a plan. Amen. And it's a whole lot bigger and a whole lot more fantastic than what I could come up with on my own. You say, well, where's it going to come from? It's going to come from prayer. When you pray and you seek after God, and you come to an agreement with God. Amen. Lord, your way is the right way. I give myself to you. I turn my whole life over to you, God. Do whatever you want to do in my life. I'll tell you what, it won't be long, and you'll start seeing miracles take place in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. It was the will of God that we went to Plymouth, Massachusetts to start a church. And I won't spend a lot of time on this, but we went there. There was one family that said they were interested, and they let us bring our furniture and put it down in their basement until we found a place. And they were a nice couple and so on and so forth. But after a little while, they said, we don't believe that. We really don't want to do this. And so here we are in a town we've never lived in before, don't know anybody. What do? We just started praying. And we started asking God, God, would you do a work among us? And then we put some energy to it. Put out a Bible box. Give away a Bible. In 2 weeks, we had about 150 yeses. I was completely overwhelmed. And I think that if we were to look at the will of God, we would be completely overwhelmed at what God wants to do. But he's just waiting for us to come into agreement with him. And so I was working 40 and 50 hours a week on a job. What am I going to do? We started visiting people in the evening time after work. And as soon as I got 9 Bible studies every week, I said, that's all I can handle. But we baptized 18 people the first year just from those Bible studies. And I'm telling you what, it's amazing. God filled them with the Holy Ghost, and not just those Bible studies, but our neighbors. We won our neighbors to the Lord. with just taking some food over to them and befriending them. They were very poor people, and they were very shy people, and they were so excited that somebody took the time to come to their house and to talk to them and to get on their level. Hey, I'm telling you what, God's got somebody in everybody's life here tonight that he wants you to minister to and to help to come to the knowledge of the truth. Praise God. It's not just going out and witnessing, but it's prayer. It's prayer. Prayer and fasting. Cornelius was on his fourth day of fasting. Didn't have the Holy Ghost. Didn't know God. But an angel was dispatched to him.